listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
To the most, Nikki Kolula. We're going to jump right into this episode. We are welcoming back Mr. Samuel. Okay, how are you, Samuel?
God damn it.
You're good, Samuel. You're fine. Don't do anything.
Shit, where's the sound?
You can't hear it?
Shit.
Turn the volume up. Can you hear us? Samuel, can you hear us? Sam, is his audio working?
Where's the sound? I can't find the sound.
Your volume on the phone. Volume on the phone. Let me try
it. I just had it.
Up on the phone. Can you hear us, Samuel? How did he just hear us, Sam? And then we lost him.
Huh?
Okay, Samuel, we're going to take you off. We're going to take you off and log you back on, okay? My God. Okay. All right, Sammy, are you there?
There we go.
All right, welcome. Wake up, Hollywood. This is your host of the most, Nikki Kolula. After some studio glitches, technical difficulties, we are here and welcome back. Samuel, okay, how are you, Samuel?
Pretty good. Thanks so much, Nikki. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, man, I know you were a little flustered when the volume was not working.
Yeah, man. Easy to get.
It's funny. It's like, there are little technical things that sometimes I get frustrated with too that I'm like, what is happening? I get it. So, you know, just be patient. We got you back on and your records are back up on all the platforms. They were taken off for some weird reason, but now they're back on. We're going to play some music. Tell me, what has music been like for you now that you've got two records up? Are you still writing music? Are you still listening to music? Tell me what music life for you is right now.
Well, yeah, I'm still writing, and I'm still working with other music people, and I'm getting ready to get out and get my music out there live. Got the two albums out, Grateful to You, Nikki, and that we got that all together, and the musicians assembled and the right studio, and everything to you, man. I appreciate it.
Of
Many
course.
thanks.
Well, you did an EP called Belong, and then you did a full album called Freedom Street. Tell me what the inspiration was behind each of the titles and what it was like kind of going through the terminal of making a record now that you're out of the record process.
Well, yeah, I think it was I didn't really have a I had it the small assortment of songs that we did, the five tracks we did for the initial release, Belong, and it came out in late 24, and so I think it just the title came to me a little bit after that, is that if I looked at the collection of songs, it just seemed like I finally had a sense of belonging, that I'd actually done something in the music industry that I could, that was concrete and that was available and people could hear. It was on the platforms, and you could say, my name, Samuel OK, and then people could look that up in the platform, Spotify, Amazon, whatever, and they could hear my music, and that was meaningful to me, and that helped me. So I've always loved making music, but I never really had the resume behind me. I didn't really have any formal training to speak of, and so I felt like I actually did belong in this field, and that's why I moved down here a few years back to pursue that dream, which I'm still doing today.
That's amazing. What's cool about that too, Samuel, you've been writing songs for 30 years. And without recording these songs as demos, how did you remember these songs? Did you I know you wrote them down in a notebook, but how did you keep track of these notebooks for 30 years and make sure that you kept everything safe?
Well, not everything was quite that old. I had some that I'd written maybe in the last, I guess, maybe 4 or 5 years. Right before I moved out of my hometown of San Jose, I was starting writing again. I got inspired again for some reason. And when I chose to move down here, which turned out to be the right before the holidays in December of 2021, I just started getting in the flow, and things seemed to happen more naturally and kind of. Sometimes it's kind of strange. I'm sure being a composer, you would understand this, but sometimes songs just get written of their own accord, seemingly. And that was kind of what was happening with me. I guess I was just in the right frame of mind, or stream of consciousness, or something that allowed me to connect with something greater than just, dreams or fantasies, or what life could be like if I really was doing the work I always feel like I was meant to do. And now I'm. Thanks to the help of you and other great people down here, I just happened to run into some good people, and now I've got this up, and it feels really good. It feels like I've really accomplished something, and I got something I can hang my hat on, and say I did this. And of course, I have to always remain humble, and that I had a lot of help in doing this. And so, yeah, I'm glad that I belong, and literally and figuratively, in the industry, and and then we did the second album, and I did 10 tracks on that one. So that was also Freedom Street, I guess, because I had a lot of things that chained me down, so to speak, and I just had a lot of, for a long time, just life happens, both good and bad, and everyone's carrying around some chains around something or other, and I was carrying more chain than I could carry, and so I started writing songs to title. Perhaps, sublimate some of that stuff, and just kind of like rid myself of the burden of thinking that I'm the only one who's dealing with these sorts of issues behind the lyrics and things like that in the songs.
Well, what's such a great part of the process is like when you start the recording process, you're just seeing, the spark of the idea. And then once you hear all the parts being laid down, and then you go through recording vocals, and then the mix, and then the master, you literally go through this shaping of, how the song comes to be. And that had to be such a great feeling to see these songs that even as, most recent as 4 and 5 years ago that you wrote, now coming to fruition and you just having it all finished. What was that feeling like for you to have Belong first, and then within the next 6 months, you had Freedom Street? What was that feeling like for you?
Yeah, I was really blessed, I must say, to be able to get that done within that short range of time, and so I have to always remain grateful and humble around that, and that that there were both newer songs and then older ones some that I'd written way back in the 90s, starting in the 90s. And for instance, on the Belong album, it was Lay It Down. I started work on that. I think it was in 98, 99. I had the chord changes and the basic rhythm and things like that. And it changed titles a few times, and the intro and the lyrics were different, but it, and it just felt like, I get Lay It Down, it's kind of felt like, you know, when I got here into LA, it's just kind of like the more I was here, just a few months or so, a couple of years now, and now it's 4 years and change. It's like, I do belong here. It's kind of like I felt like I always was an Angeleno, except born in, you know, 400 miles too far north, or actually be, you know, a native here. So, but Lay It Down is like, you know, lay it down. Your burden belongs on the ground. You know, I was kind of like, yeah, I was carrying around a lot of unfreed burdens, and so I got to do that. And so that came to life. And there was another song that I written, I think it was maybe 20 year early 2000s, in my sister's place, and that was called The Changes. And then the chorus, it's kind of strange. I wrote that the day that we recorded that one, I changed the lyrics and the, not the music, but I changed the lyrics all around to the bridge, actually. And yeah, it just took on a whole new life. It just fit more with the song. And it's just kind of amazed. I was in amazement about how things just kind of fell together naturally.
Especially when there's so much time in between from when you first wrote it to, I remember you wrote the bridge like the night before you recorded it. So what made you make that pivot to like write something new for the song?
I don't know. It must have been inspiration of some sort. I just don't know. I think I maybe felt like the words were kind of too contrived or something in that part of the song, and just I thought of something. And just we were there. I mean, you and you know, the engineer there. You guys were working on getting something right as far as what we'd already recorded. And I was thinking, I'm going to rewrite this. So we did it over the next time in the vocals, and I had a new bridge in there. I was like, wow, I didn't think things could be that spontaneous. But in rock and roll, you know, if it's not spontaneous, you got to ask yourself, is it really rock and roll, you know?
You know, there's something about capturing the moment that I love about recording, that it is one of the only art forms where you can literally record something that day and have something finished for the most part by the end of the night. And it's like, I love that feeling of hearing, okay, we recorded all of this today. Now we'll come back to this another day and we'll mix it. But it's like you hear where all the parts are and how they all come together in such a great way. Let's play the title track. Here's Freedom Street by Samuel Okeh.
God got a lot of trouble. Living in a bubble. Stage four or so cancer. Now just keep your feet in the game. Don't carry any more of that shame, regardless of the one that it belongs to. It's been with you many years. Freedom.
stones alone. Sweet lovers pond. Anger, habit down low. Made everybody my foe. Yet I insist and can't resist a freedom manifesto. Happiness comes for all. Skipping stones alone, sweet lovers come. Skipping stones alone, sweet lovers come. Skipping stones down on, sweet lovers come. Skipping stones down on, sweet lovers
come. Yeah, man, I forgot I did background vocals on that track.
Yeah, so man, cool. Sure did.
So fun, so fun. And man, I also forgot the bridge wah-wah guitar part, man. That's cool. Yeah. Very cool.
That is, yeah.
I love, you know, I remember we were all like sitting in the room together kind of throwing ideas into like the fire. Like, okay, let's try this. And, you know, it's been a while since I listened to this song and it's just so cool to hear it again, like revisiting it. So what's it like for you now that, you know, you're revisiting it?
Well, it's good to have it back up on the platforms. And, yeah, I'd missed that song a lot because it meant a lot to me because, I mean, freedom is about, you know, freedom's everything, really. If you can't be free to create or free to be yourself or, you know, whatever it is, like free to vote or, you know, free to, you know, love. I mean, it's like freedom is where it's at, man. You know,
freedom is where it's at. You know what's cool about you having a record called Freedom Street? I've got an EP called the Freedom EP, and I also feel the same way about it. It's like, man, it is one of the things that defines this country, and it's one of the reasons why this country is so great. And it's not the only reason, but it's something we have to kind of remember and remind ourselves. So I love that you wrote a song that kind of represents that. Now,
it's not only that. I think it's also that I just wanted to say that freedom is where it's at, but I got to keep a close eye on myself and make sure that my freedom doesn't impinge upon anyone else's.
Yeah, that's very important. Yeah. What was it like for you to do vocals? Because that was the first time I think you'd been kind of familiarizing yourself with doing them through each record. But what was it like kind of like running in and just kind of like, all right, let's do a vocal right now? What was that feeling like for you?
You mean the final vocals that we were doing?
Yeah, the lead vocal.
Yeah, that was, I think through the recording process, I got a lot more confident as we went along. And you know, the first couple of tracks on the Belong EP was a little bit, you know, I'd never been in a studio before where I'd really been working with professionals. And so, you know, I just got to say, I was quite intimidated, but then you guys really made me feel at home and said, hey man, chill, you do it, take the time and get it right. And the mixing and everything came out good. I was just really happy with the end product and the process was really, really meaningful, I think. Yeah.
Well, it's awesome too, because it's got like a throwback vibe, like a very early Motown kind of vibe, but it's got like modern fidelity. So it like sounds like a Motown tune that's got like a modern mix and vibe. Mm-hmm. I love that Andre put the mute on the bass. I don't know if you remember him doing that. He put this mute on the bass. He's the one that told me to get this, but it's a little mute that he put on to make the tone of it really short, and it's just such a vibe. It's just got like the James Jamerson Motown vibe. So
yeah,
very cool. I want to play another song of yours. It's called I Am So Lonely. Before we play it, I want you to talk a little bit about the song. Tell me, you must have been in a pretty dark place when you wrote this song. What made you reach out for your guitar and write this song?
Well, you know, you know, like all people, I used to think that I was one of the few people that had to deal with loneliness and for whatever reason. And, you know, and But we all haven't had in some capacity, and I forget that sometimes, and see other people, and I think, they're connected, and they're family and friends and relationships and things, and sometimes I think I was thinking that I was maybe the only odd man out around that, and it's totally not true, and so I guess I just was, all songs that have been kind of really meaningful to me were like things like Paul Simon's I Am a Rock, or some other songs that were just, kind of where you feel like, on the outside looking in. And that P.F. Sloan wrote a song called What's Exactly the Matter with Me, and I could relate to that. It was one of the things that was supposed to be the A side. And at that time, they had the B side as Eve of Destruction. It was a single by Barry McGuire. And then that DJ flipped it over and it was a number one hit. And but anyway, it was just, the loneliness is just really the thread, I think, that ties all humanity together. And, I'm in a space right now where I can, rely on that's reality. And it's just like for a long time, I just thought that, it's just everyone else, or maybe not everyone else, but a lot of other people just have it together and, and except me. But that's just basically, arrogance in reverse or something. It's just like, we all have that. I'm not
Oh,
the
you
only
know what?
one.
When you're feeling down, sometimes it can feel so immediate and urgent that you can lose sight of where reality is in relation to that. And maybe that's your immediate reality, but it's not really, it's an illusion a lot of times to, sidetrack the mind into, convincing you of something that may not be all there. It's one of those things that it's a part of life. So I love that you documented it. Let's play this song. This is I Am So Lonely by Samuel OK.
Might ever heal. It's making me crazy. walking hand in hand, and they kissing at the merchant stand. Am I the only lonely cat in this dog-eat-dog world who can't seem to find good work and just a nice girl? Where does somebody fit when they feel like they just don't?
Tapping into your inner Mick Jagger at the end of that, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that compliment.
It's very cool. It's got such a good vibe. I mean, I love the chord changes. I love the arrangement. I love the mood of your vocal, too. It's, like, really sincere. I forgot I played a guitar solo on that, and I also forgot how cool the chords were interacting with each other with what you're playing. It's so cool. And also the bass and drums just sound like a pocket, like, you know, unknown. It's so deep, you know. It was really, really like a fun way to revisit that song, because I remembered your verse and your chorus, but I didn't remember the parts, you know, like of the bass and the interaction between the guitar and stuff. So awesome.
I was gonna ask you an honest question, Nikki. It sounds a lot like, I don't know if you had this in mind for part of it or not, but as far as the solo, the guitar solo in it, it reminds me a lot of, just when I think about it now, it didn't occur to me at the time, but now as you play it again, I'm thinking, you know, it sounds a lot like this, in the same style that Clapton played on the White Album's George Harrison song, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Did you have that in mind, or is that just the...
You know what? I'm so heavily influenced by Clapton, so I feel like he's always in some part of my playing on some level, because I just always obsess over him. I actually just bought, you'll appreciate this, I bought a 1936 Dobro 45 round neck guitar, and he has the same one. So I've been learning some songs that he played on it and learning some slide, but you know, from him. But I think for that song, actually, I'm going more of like the Albert King, like blues. The only thing that I would say that it would be a little bit different was the chromatic. There's a chromatic lick that I, you know, do descending chromatic lick that I don't think Albert King would do, and I don't even think Clapton would do. That would probably be closer to maybe a Stevie Ray Vaughan thing, you know, that he would do. So I would say it's a combination of all three of them in some way, you know. So I love that solo, and I love the little licks when it comes out of the solo and you're singing. There's like these licks that we put, I forgot we did this, that we put like tucked away in the back of the mix, so it sounds like the guitar solo is still going on way past, you know, like it's really neat with the vocals. Yeah. So, and I like the message of like you kind of getting bare bones at the end. Tell me what the inspiration was with the speakeasy part of it.
You mean toward the last kind of verse?
Yeah.
I guess I was just the feeling of being, I just feel like, you know, and I just feeling like I'm left out of life. And then I realized, you know, there was only one person leaving me out of life, and that's me, you know? And right. Until I realized that, I couldn't really start making a change for the better. And, you know, it's incumbent upon me to, you know, step up and say, hey, man, I want to learn how to do this life thing better. And just like everyone else, you know, we all struggle in some fashion or another.
Well, and I think there's so much of like the journey that kind of shows us that life is more about, we're going to walk through these emotions, and these are all the emotions we're always going to experience. I mean, there's not one human on the planet that has not experienced laughter or joy and sadness and depression and, you know, like fear, any of those. These are all real emotions. And I think that's what makes life feel difficult sometimes, is kind of like you want it to stay at a certain level. But as George Harrison said, all things must pass. And I think never be completely comfortable that any emotion is going to stay there for good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think when sadness hits or depression, it definitely feels like it lasts a lot longer than happiness. Happiness and joy like feel like they're so fast moving, and sadness and depression just really makes you feel it when you feel it. So it's just important. Yeah. You know, we try to, you know, maintain and stay at a level that makes us all feel a little bit comforted. And I think music does that for musicians more than anything. You know, it's like sometimes I have to listen mm-hmm. to it. Sometimes I got to write a song, and it's like that's mm-hmm. so much of it. So I think, you know, as long as you keep writing and playing, Samuel, I think the world is a better place and your world is a better place. You know, that's kind of the motto you should live by.
Well, thanks so much, Nikki. I know you mentioned this too, but some people find solace in certain things like, you know, nature. I think you've mentioned there's a certain part of the, you know, Southern California coast that's, you know, comforting. And I think I need to take you up on that. I think I need to get out more in nature. I think that's where a lot of the beauty and the higher kind of spirit is, you know, happening. It's kind of out in amongst, you know, the country and places, things that are natural and places that are natural that are, you know, unfettered by, you know, urban madness and, you know, exhaust and things like that.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of like where like nature can kind of lend itself to picking us up. I have to always kind of be in the water or be around nature. And I think it's important to have that, like, you know, give you some strength and give you some energy because, you know, it's part of nature to also feel all these things too. And nature knows like the cycles of life more than anything. And I think you should take some time and just like wander in some nature because it's always going to be replenishing when you come out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me, are you writing music now? Are you writing songs right now?
Yeah, I've been working on a two or three new ones. Sometimes I'll just get a catchy song title or something, the thing that might work later on. I'll write down the song title and come back to it later and use that as a thesis. Or maybe I'll come up with a short stanza, like a two-line or a four-line thing, and then build upon that. And I've got two songs in the works. One is called Misunderstandings, and there's another one called How Many Times. And it's kind of like asking and opposing questions about how many times are you going to do, you know, this old thing that doesn't work. You know, how many times are you going to do it before you let it go and try something that may work, may not work, but at least you'll find out. If it doesn't work, then try some more. Like, instead of what it basically is about how many times am I going to allow myself to get stuck in the same old rut with different aspects of life or experience or friendships or, you know, quests or better, you know, music or, you know, whatever, friendships, whatever. So those two are, I need to work. The how many times thing is kind of a rockabilly kind of beat. I've never really done anything in that style before.
Cool.
So
What inspired the rockabilly thing? Was it a song that, you know, was it like a Brian Setzer thing, or like what made you kind of listen to that?
It wasn't a Brian Setzer thing. It was more like Dave Edmonds kind of.
Okay.
I had another thing in mind about like a rockabilly type of group or an artist or something like that. But I can't really think of it right now. It's just I remember I put the chords together about maybe four and a half years ago. I was just playing my guitar and I started playing a chord pattern in just a 1-5-4-1-5-4-1 thing in F sharp major on my guitar. And I just kind of like the way it slid, the way it's the sliding sound between the fourth fret and the second fret bar with the A position. And it just sounded kind of cool, like the way the slide sounded. And I didn't even know it was going to be about what the theme was going to be, but it was just kind of like, I came up with the lyrics like within a year ago or maybe a year and a half ago. It just kind of occurred to me. It's like, wow, yeah. It's like I do a lot of sometimes really ridiculous repeating things, even though they don't work. It's like, man, it's like I gotta let this go. How many times is it gonna take for me to realize, hey, wait, this doesn't work, you know? Maybe it's
Right.
time to try something else. You may have had some of the same experience with a certain kind of whatever, you know, I don't know.
Do you start with,
But
or do you start with lyrics when you write?
it's, people ask me that a lot. Do I start with music or the lyrics? And it just varies. It's just kind of sometimes I'll have a tune and a riff, and like I have this one ballad, and it's just kind of a riff that I play. That's the chords change, and it's a single string riff. It's just kind of, I don't know. I just it, wherever it goes is where it goes. Like I said before, some of my songs just seem to write themselves, you know.
Right. I feel like inspiration is dropped somehow. It's like you have to be open to it and you have to be ready to receive it, and it just comes out of nowhere, and it usually comes when you least expect it to. So that's what's like kind of exciting about it. There's a rush to it, you know? So I'm always looking for that feeling because I feel like I'm always afraid that it'll stop, it'll stop songs, So what are some things you do to stay creative? Are you listening to music all the time? Are you just constantly fiddling on guitar? Like, what is it for you?
Well, I listen more than I used to. I hear a lot of stuff that I check out through Siri with my phone. So that's one thing. And then also what I do too is I make sure most of the time is I remember carry some like a notebook or some sort of small notepad or something like that. Because I've several times in the past I said, think of like, oh, that's a great two lines of rhyme. That would be a great two lines or a catchy way to, you know, a hook and the lyric to start off a song with. And I thought, oh, I'll remember it later, but no way, I never remember it. So I'd always learn to bring a notebook with something like that. And nowadays you could do it on a, I mean, text yourself or you know, a tablet, whatever, on your phone or whatever. And yeah, that's just kind of, I've got to be at the ready. I mean, because some of the best songs that were made were just, you know, I mean, I heard that, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that Paul McCartney wrote the beginning of Paperback Writer on the back of a matchbook or something like that.
What? Are you
On a
serious?
bus trip or something like, I don't know, maybe not. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that, but something, why? I mean, you'd be surprised at what lengths people go to, you know, create something. They know they've got something. You know, the Beatles were kind of, you know, I don't know if the spirit had them or what, but they were touched by something. They knew and they had something good a lot of the time, you know.
What's funny, I met Paul McCartney twice, and I have so many Beatles questions that I just have, and I've never asked him one of them because he's got such a presence that he's impacted my life so deeply that I feel like I just forget. I almost forget my name. Like, it's like, oh, McCartney's here. It's like, so I have so many Beatles questions, but that would definitely be a Beatles question I would ask him. Like, did you back of a matchbook? Like, did you start song like that? Like that. I always think about the Beatles writing Love Me Too in the back of a van on the way to a gig. Like,
Really?
that just is, wrote it in like 5 to 8 minutes. It's like, what? That's just a crazy thing because it's like so much of a part of our culture, So, I want to play one of your next songs. Let's
Well,
play.
before I forget, I just wanted to mention, yeah, I heard that John and Paul wrote I Want to Hold Your Hand on a piano, an upright piano in the basement of Jane Asher's parents' home. Peter Asher, Peter and Gordon, and then Jane Asher was Paul's girlfriend for years until he met Linda Eastman. So, yeah.
So great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love
Yeah.
that you can always share Beatles tidbits like that with me because I'm always going to eat them up. I love them. They're awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're going to play a song called Heart and Hand. Tell me
Okay.
about the inspiration about this song.
Well, I just got going and I started playing in G major. I didn't know what I was doing, but I've always liked, you know, as far as the song went, and I always liked chord changes like a G derivative or just a G major and then to a 4 major 7, which is C major 7, and then I just I don't know, the chords just came into the rhythm and came out of there, and then when I got to the recording thing, I don't think it was really happening until we got in the studio. I did this like the scat singing in the pre-chorus or something like that, wasn't it? Is
Yeah,
that what you call that? Yeah, I'd never done that before. I was thinking, wow, how'd that happen? I mean, I didn't set out to do any scat singing or anything like that.
well, let's play Heart and Hand. Samuel, okay.
All right.
I come to you, my little heart in my hand, I don't do. Besides, hope you understand, I wanna hurt like before, so I'll just try to flirt and dance with you a little bit more. Bop, 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 a dooby dooby doo, bop, 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 a dooby dooby doo, bop, bop, yeah. You got my heart in your hand. Believe me, baby, I'm only a man. I'm counting on you to understand. I'm working on a light, a new one that'll work with a strike. With times of being a jerk, I can't run away from you, no, any kind of fun, whether with friends or with you. Bop, 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 a dooby dooby doo, bop, 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 dooby dooby doo, bop, bop, yeah. I miss so much the fall, man, I don't wanna do that no more. I gotta make a change at the core. Why must we cry? Night and day, hey, hey, both you and I can simply say, the sun's here today, the rains are at bay, the blue sky is saying, let's play. So hold me, baby, and I'll hold you, I think that maybe we can come up with something naughty to do. Your thighs are so red, and make you not care if we make a love in it, yeah. Bop, 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 dooby dooby. Bop, 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 dooby dooby doo, bop, bop, yeah. I'm looking right at you, baby. Sexy wonder for you, baby. Entranced by the eyes of you. Why must we cry night and day? Hey, hey, hey. Both you and I can simply say, the sun's here today, the rains are at bay. Sky is saying, let's play, oh, baby. I'll hold you, I think that maybe we can come up with something naughty to do. Your sides are so rare, I make it not care if we make a love in midair. A bop, 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 a dooby dooby doo, bop, bop, a bop, 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 a dooby dooby doo, bop, bop, yeah. I'm looking right at you, baby. Sexy wonder for you, baby. Entranced by the eyes of you,
yeah. I forgot that ending. I forgot those hits, dude. Those were cool.
Yeah, I like the ending of that. Is that a wah-wah?
It's a vibrato.
Oh, vibrato. Okay.
It has this. What am I thinking of? It's not vibrato. It's oh my god!
Intensity. Intensity.
It's called a tremolo. Sorry.
Oh, tremolo. That's what it is.
I was like, vibrato. It's not vibrato. Vibrato for the vocal is what it's. What that was. Tremolo is what gives it that sound, and I love. You know, you have to be very sparing about how you use tremolo on a record. But it's so fitting how it works there. So, man, I love playing guitar for your songs because it forces me to write parts that are conducive to what you're playing too, and usually in a higher register. So it's cool. It's very, very cool. I love playing these songs. We've got to play these songs live, Samuel.
For sure, yeah. Well, if you give me the chance, I'll do it. You're ready to rock out. I'll show up.
In sometime in June. We'll have to announce the date another time.
Okay, sounds great, man. I'm ready.
People find you if they want to find you online.
I'm on Instagram, and
you should be. I think it's at Samuel OK. We're gonna put it on our website.
Okay, yeah, that's about right. That sounds about right. Yeah,
you're Samuel OK on all the platforms too: Spotify, Music, all of the music platforms, right? Tidal.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so glad your record is back up.
Yeah, me too. Hey, what did you think about the emotional effect? Is it just me, or did I feel the emotional effect of when the In Heart and Hand, they went from the went up to a modulation of a half tone up?
Yeah, the key change that was out of the
that place. Was just like, I don't know. There's something about that just And in other songs as well, I can't believe it's just kind of emotional lift or something that happened.
But a key change in Freedom Street too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that you key changes in songs because a lot of artists don't do that anymore. It's like,
well, like, yeah, that, like, the, and talking about McCartney, did And I Love Her from A Hard Day's Night, that goes to modulation right before George's guitar solo on that Spanish guitar.
That's right.
Yeah.
Man, they were something special, and I love that you're always influenced by them. I hope that seeps into your next record. You need to make, like, a very Beatles-influenced next record at some point. But we're going to have you play live next. But, you know, I want people to check out your records. They're back up on all the platforms. They're up on Spotify. They're up on Tidal, Apple Music, all the platforms. Check out Belong by Samuel OK. And check out Freedom Street by Samuel OK. Samuel, you got any parting words of wisdom for us?
Well, keep on writing, keep on recording, keep on playing out, man. I'm showing up.
I love it. Rock on, Samuel. On behalf of Samuel OK, myself, and Sam, we'll see you guys next week. Peace, love, and take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Right. We'll see you next week. Peace.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.